Welcome everyone once again to the Damage Report. I am still not John Iadarola. I am Francesca Fiorentini, your babysitter for the week. How is everyone doing? So good to have you here. We got a great show for you. But hey, speaking about a great show, I host a show called the Bituation Room Podcast. So if you like me, listen to the Bituation Room Podcast, watch it live 5-8 Eastern on Sundays. You can go there. Franny Fio is the / on YouTube. And if you don't like me, John's gonna be back on Friday. It's fine. Just calm down. All right, I can hear you. But no, so good to have you here. Make sure to sound off in them comments and to share and like the stream. And because it's a Wednesday, we have none other than the wonderful, the amazing Mr. J.R. Jackson.
What's up, Francesca? Hey, listen, this is Wednesday without John. I'm gonna go ahead and make sure you guys know. We have a fancy French press this morning for you guys.
Ooh.
We're on with fancy Francesca. We can't have the Folgers like we have with John.
Wow.
It's beautiful. I mean, you might as well have your prep happening right in front of you since I'm a mess this morning. Might as well let everyone know.
You know, there's bigger messes out there, JR, than what is going on in your world this morning. So I want you to know that out there, namely in Mar-a-Lago, there's more struggle happening.
I hear there's some struggles with some roses. I don't know, I'm not gonna say who, but I just heard there's some struggles with some roses.
You guys, it's rose season and some gardeners came through and just hacked all the roses in my house away. And I've never felt such like a white Karen just being like, no, the roses. So that's what JR is referring to.
I'm sorry, Francesca, is this something lately for you? Because I know Anna has lately been hardcore on flowers and roses. And is this something that's been a stress reliever for you? Because it sounds like there's a lot of care goes into this.
Yeah, no, I've named each one of them. It was like smelly.
You're lying to me, for real?
Dopey. No, but they're pretty. Roses smell so good. The pink ones, the pink ones. Okay.
I'm sorry.
John's really been sleeping on the rose content. Before we get into it, I just want to remind everyone that there is a special program coming up as part of TYT's Pride Special. A Pride Special on June 1st at 8 p.m. 5 Eastern or 5 Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. TYT.com/live, hosted by Jason Carter, featuring John Iadarola. You know him, he's like the normal host. Adrian Lawrence, Daniel Francese, who I love, Plastic Martyr, Canela Lopez, Odessa Kelly, and Rhea Butcher. Love all those folks. Celebrating progress and discussing the crucial issues facing the LGBTQ community today. And also, Shop TYT is donating 100% of the proceeds to the Trevor Project, which I believe works around LGBTQ issues. So shoptyt.com, 100% of those proceeds going to the Trevor Project. So hey, get some swag, donate. It's a good win-win. With that said, JR, it's a big news Wednesday. Are you ready to get into this?
I'm used to it. Let's do it. I love it.
All right. Well, for Donald Trump, the Oval Office was kind of like base from, you know, criminal fraud tag, right? As long as he was on base, he was safe. No one could touch him. Well, now he's no longer on base. He got voted off of base. And therefore, two attorneys are chasing him and they're catching up. They're getting very, very close to official charges or an indictment, possibly a criminal indictment. So just yesterday, Cy Vance, Manhattan's district attorney, convened a grand jury that is expected to decide whether to indict former President Donald Trump, other executives at his company, or the business itself, should prosecutors present the panel with criminal charges, according to two people familiar with the development. So this development signals that the Manhattan District Attorney's Office was moving forward seeking charges as a result of this 2-year investigation, which, as you all remember, included a lengthy legal battle to obtain Trump's tax records, which was successful, ergo $750. You guys, I'm sure a lot of us just did our taxes. If you didn't, respect, a little bit of respect, but 750, oh my God. All right, so just more about this grand jury. Mm-hmm. The panel was convened recently and will sit 3 days a week for 6 months. It's likely to hear several matters, not just the Trump case, during its term, which is longer than a traditional New York State grand jury assignment. And then, of course, You gotta hear both sides. Let the man speak. It wasn't on Twitter, but the former president Donald Trump, in a statement Tuesday evening, said the seating of the grand jury is a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in American history. Really? More than Salem? Okay. This is purely political and an affront to the almost 75 million voters who supported me in the presidential election, and it's being driven by a highly partisan Democrat prosecutors. Trump said, our country is broken, our elections are rigged, corrupt and stolen, our prosecutors are politicized, and I will have to keep on fighting like I have been for the last 5 years.
Well, he's definitely up to some serious fight now, because as you said, he's no longer on second base. He tried stealing again, didn't make it this time. So this time the umpires are on to him. I love the analogy. So if you haven't figured it out yet, I love the analogy. But so this is where we stand now. So Donald Trump is now, well, first off, the reason why he was so hardcore and wanted to make sure he gets reelected is because the cover for his immunity has been lifted. Now they're digging into his tax records, which we were asking for the entire time he was running for president and was president. And it was a continuation of, oh yeah, you know, they keep auditing me, it's not really a big deal. Who really does that anyway? Everyone does that in modern presidential history. So he bypassed all those things, and we've gotten to the point now where he no longer has that cover. And that's when the criminals start squealing more and more and screaming out to the ether. This is more of a witch hunt. Again, there's aspects of his statement here that have been just, it's repetition. It's to the point now, you don't have to, nobody reads his blog that much anyway. You don't have to follow everything he says to realize that he's saying the same thing. He went through the Russia, Russia, Russia line. Another witch hunt. I've never had to endure as much as any other president. I could have told you all these things without reading that statement, by the way, because it's the same statement. And then pointing out that 75 million Americans voted for me. Oh, and I'm gonna have to continue fighting. That's all it is. You have to make sure you galvanize your supporters behind who, whatever it is you're saying. And then no matter what the case is, ignore what you're hearing from facts. Listen to me tell you, you voted for me, so therefore you can't listen to anything else. And again, I don't know why it continues to work. I have no idea why it keeps working.
Yeah, absolutely. What's interesting about these two cases, and especially Cy Vance's case, you know, which could be a criminal case, is that none of this, and remember folks, none of this has to do with anything he did during his time in office. This is all before. This guy could have just had a normal crime life, you know, just a normal white collar yacht life, white collar crime yacht life, and he had to run for president. He just had to. And now, guess what? He's come under the microscope and he's under scrutiny. So, like, again, the idea that, you know, he's being targeted, it's so unfair. He's never been treated as unfairly. Look, we haven't even gotten to the things, and we may never get to the things that he did while in office, right? Profiting off of his position, you know, Ivanka's brands getting a leg up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. This is all stuff from before. So just to recap, right, there are two cases against him. One from Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, that's a civil case. And then this is the Manhattan DA, Cy Vance's potential criminal case. Trump is facing two investigations of his practices in New York. Both appear to have begun with the same man, Michael Cohen, the fixer, Trump's longtime lawyer and attack dog, who turned on Trump after pleading guilty to making hush money payments on Trump's behalf and lying to Congress. Vance's criminal investigation began in 2018 after Cohen pleaded guilty to charges stemming from the hush money payoffs made in the last days of the 2016 campaign to women who said they had affairs with Trump years earlier, allegations the former president denies. Vance's investigation soon expanded as a district attorney sought to examine millions of pages of Trump's tax returns. Millions of pages. Obviously, you guys might have heard the news that Alan Weisselberg, who is Trump's longtime finance chief, has sort of been one of the main players in this. And his former daughter-in-law, Jen Weisselberg, has been cooperating with both inquiries. She's given investigators reams of tax records and other documents as they look into whether some Trump employees were given off the books compensation, such as apartments or tuition. I believe she's on record saying, yes, my child's tuition was paid for by Donald Trump. Like, what? That's bold. You know, I feel like after the college tuition scandal, you know, like any other college scandal is like, peanuts. Like, oh yeah, so Trump paid for my college tuition, whatever. At least I didn't, you know, lie to get an SAT score.
Well, yeah, and now we're ready to see whether or not, this is what I heard this morning, because when we hear things about grand jury, people wanna a lot of times go, oh man, it's over, open and shut, that's it. And it's a little tough. And that's always my first assumption, but again, I'm not an attorney, so I don't have a clear cut reasoning why. So I go and ask and look for other folks saying it. Now, the Weisselberg link is the thing, because he can always play dumb. He always had someone do the last step for him. He had this infrastructure in place to do all the cheating and the fraud and the tax evasion, all those things that he basically admitted he had done before. Yeah. You'd be an idiot not to do what I did. I'm paraphrasing his words on that.
No, but yeah, pretty much.
You need someone who actually had the brains to carry out the last actions business-wise, and that was Weisselberg. So there's always that one link left of someone he needs to continue to take the fall for him, or else he's gonna finally be on the hook. There's enough ambiguity around what he definitely 100% knew versus what he carried out with the organization. So he could still go, yeah, it's called Trump Organization, but I didn't really run it. I mean, just my name on it. And yeah. Weisselberg is the bad guy. So now we pitted the last two criminals in the room together, and whether or not they're who's gonna burn the last of the drugs or throw it, yeah, flush it down the toilet, and which one's gonna swallow it and get caught pooping it out in jail. So we're at that point now of the criminals are now ready to turn on each other. And again, his former daughter-in-law, Weisselberg's, said it quickly. I think she was on CNN. Oh, he'll flip.
Yeah.
There's not, who wants to go to prison?
Absolutely, especially not for this guy who will so quickly throw you under the bus as he has with pretty much everyone, including kind of the big one, which was his fixer, Michael Cohen. And I just wanted to play this clip from Michael Cohen's testimony to Congress, and he's being asked by AOC essentially to describe what the kinds of financial crimes that he was asked to commit on behalf of Donald Trump looked like. Take a look.
To your knowledge, did the president ever provide inflated assets to an insurance company?
Yes.
Who else knows that the president did this?
Alan Weisselberg, Ron Lieberman, and Matthew Calamari.
And where would the committee find more information on this? Do you think we need to review his financial statements and his tax returns in order to compare them?
Yes, and you'd find it at the Trump Org.
They go on to talk about how you inflate assets, and she's sort of playing dumb. You know, she's like, well, how does that even work? And it's basically like, well, you underreport how many assets you actually have. And of course, you overreport whenever you're trying to get a loan, you know, and so you cheat the IRS through that. Just for some context, here's one example. Both sets of investigators, this is Cy Vance and Letitia James, have sought documents related to a Trump estate in suburban New York. According to court records and people familiar with the efforts, where the then president obtained a $21 million tax break by agreeing to give up development rights and a Chicago tower. And a tower in Chicago where Trump's lenders forgave $100 million of debt. So I guess he was president then.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Ha ha ha.
Yes.
Why would he change what he was doing once he was president? We remember when he came in and he had that lady come out with the whole book of things that he's not going to have any more knowledge upon because, you know, he's handing it over to his idiot sons or whoever else was supposed to be taking control of it. When it was pretty obvious that that book had nothing to do with anything that he knew anything about or that he would be following to avoid. Of course, he was still connected to everything he was doing. It's again, he'll say one thing and then blatantly do the opposite, but then we're supposed to just let it go. Yeah. And the reason he thinks that way is because that's the way his entire life has been. It's just, it's worked out for him that way. Now, the only question now is because there's that division. There's the thought that I had when he was voted out even. I was like, honestly, I'm still not looking at many things that I see definitely taking this guy and making him being held responsible for what he's done, previous, present, whatever, to what he's done. I don't know if this is enough of a shot to him that's gonna lead somewhere. I'm still a little worried. Everyone gets positive, I think, a little too soon. Gotta be honest.
No, I mean, no, of course. And the real thing is, like, would any of that, even a guilty conviction, it might bankrupt him. I mean, he's been there before. It might bankrupt him, but will it prevent him from, like, running for office again? Who knows? Maybe he could, maybe not for president again. Maybe he could run for governor. Like, I don't think his, I don't know. I'm not sure how much of his political career is dead. It's never dead, especially, I mean, there's gonna be a Trump TV at some point. The problem is that what, look, if you keep on throwing your closest confidants under the bus, and if they're willing to flip on you, again, no honor among thieves, or in Michael Cohen's case, maybe a little bit of honor, just a little bit, because he's the only one that actually stuck his neck out, you know, is, you know, at some point you're burning through all these people so that the only one who's gonna work for you is, like, you know, Melissa Carone and drunk Rudy Giuliani, just like, or drunk Melissa Carone and drunk Rudy, or flatulent Rudy Giuliani, you know, just like, oh, we're here for you. You know, like, that's the caliber of people you're getting. Alan, you're not getting the Alan Weisselbergs.
I don't know how that's worked so far. Gotta be honest, it's because everyone sees the clownish nature of the people that have worked for him, the people that have tried to defend him that are actually criminals themselves. It's, again, it's Teflon Don, and it's the way, it's honestly, it's an indictment of our entire system. The fact that we can allow this blatantly to happen in front of our faces. He told us the way he works. He said he'd be an idiot not to game the system in a certain way to make sure the tax system works his direction. I don't know how much more corroboration to what we're gonna find out in this direct evidence you need. But apparently we need more than that. We need him to say, yeah, I did it, and I've been trying to hide it for years.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Absolutely.
Not.
And the importance of, like, federal judges, right? Which his presidency was, you know, one of the unprecedented parts of it was he appointed more federal judges than, I don't know, however many presidents previous to him. Clearly not Cy Vance. Cy Vance is an attorney. The point is, legal things confuse me, and I'm starting to understand that both of these cases, walls are closing in, and we'll see what the grand jury does, right? It's good that it's moving on, at least, so we can't sort of claim that there is no accountability, because it looks like there might be.
So we got 6 months, it looks like.
Exactly. Start the clocks. Let's move on to our next story. So I just have a question, which is, like, how do you lick a boot? How do you truly, like, get your mouth around the heel of a boot, especially if there is, like, a pretty big heel on the boot that, like, makes the boot wearer have trouble, like, walking down ramps and, you know, standing like a human being? How do you get your mouth around Donald Trump's boot to lick it? Well, Governor Ron DeSantis has kind of a good idea on how you do that. So Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just signed a first in the nation bill that can penalize tech companies for deplatforming politicians. The legislation states that platforms can only suspend accounts for 14 days and will be fined as much as $250,000 per day for violations. The bill, believed to be the first of its kind, will take effect on July 1st. So, is this about Donald Trump? No, of course not. According to a statement from DeSantis, quote, the bill is for everyday Floridians. Do we buy that, JR?
All those Floridians that, first of all, I know you can get to the details of the kind of people that this is actually protecting, but that line, I was watching a piece of that press conference yesterday. That line got a standing ovation applause line when he was asked, so is this about Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump is now a Florida resident, as we already know. Donald Trump has been deplatformed off of Twitter and all the rest of them. Is this about him? And DeSantis' entourage behind him of goons were looking very upset, like, how dare you ask that question? We're gonna get you outside. And then he decided to flip it in Ron DeSantis' own twisted mind. This was a good moment for him because he said, no, it's about all Floridians. And by the way, since we're talking about Donald Trump, you're gonna deplatform him, but look, you let the Ayatollah Khamenei just run rampant talking about Jews all the time. So, and then everybody stood up and went crazy, like it was just the devastating line of the year. So that's what they operate with. You need to build in your own audience. You need to build it. You have your own baked in audience out there to applaud you. You need your goons behind you to make sure that those reporters that are asking normal questions are on notice that, hey, that's the kind of question we don't like around here. And that's what we've got now. Now, by the way, this whole law, which again, I know you're gonna get into, is not much basis for what you can do. And all this stuff they're claiming to be able to do, which is the reason why they didn't like that question, is because it is simply a signal to Donald Trump. Like, I got your back still. I'm still here trying to find my mouth around that boot.
Yeah, no, and again, it's like, please anoint me. You know, once again, it's like, I mean, Matt Gaetz, I don't think he's gonna be next in line, but we are waiting. Like, who is the former president going to anoint as his successor? Spoiler, no one, it's gonna be him. He wants it to be him, no matter how much of a crash and burn a presidential campaign might be, more so than the last one. He'll still get votes, but you know, so, but I think DeSantis clearly, he's being groomed. I mean, in the way that he emerged, and we've talked about this on the show, emerged from COVID unscathed despite lying, hiding deaths, doing all of the things Andrew Cuomo gets reamed for, and rightfully so. DeSantis, no masks, no lockdown, let's hide the bodies, whatevs. Let's keep, my star is rising, amazing. I wanted to, read a little bit more about the details of this bill and the response to it. So graphic 7, the bill is gonna be met with a myriad of challenges from the legal left. Carl Szabo, the general counsel for NetChoice, a trade group representing big tech companies, said in a statement, the First Amendment prohibits the government from compelling or controlling speech on private websites. If this law could somehow be enforced, it would allow lawful but awful user posts, including pornography, violence, and hate speech, that would make it harder for families to safely navigate online. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's an interesting question. I feel like the right is sort of like, they're getting at the same issues that folks like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have been talking about as well, which is that these tech companies are way too big and they shouldn't have the end say on what kind of speech like is allowed to remain on the internet and what should be taken down, right? That shouldn't be left to the hands of private companies who have a profit model at the end of the day, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, it's not profitable for them to have someone who is inciting a riot. Almost like they love it until it's like too much, and now they're like, oh no, this is, now he's got to go. But like, we really enjoyed making a lot of money from Trump while he was doing all of the inciting.
So all these regular Floridians that he's saying he's looking to make sure he's protecting, how is that going to be reported? You're doing all this for the funding and making sure you're finding these social media companies for regular Floridians for saying what? What is it that they're saying that they can lead to any kind of problem that these social media companies would have? I don't know, maybe I missed it, but none of that was very well like spoken at this whole event. So again, I'm not sure how you can look at this and then go, yeah, he's speaking for me. Cause there's carve outs for a huge corporation. One in particular.
Oh yes.
I don't think it's just regular Floridians. Again, I mean, it's so blatant. You can say one thing, and if someone reads the first two sentences of any article about it, they can discover the real thing. I don't know why we can't just have that normalcy in this country. It's so odd to me. I didn't read every detail of this whole thing. I don't know the entire 22 pages or whatever he did for this whole thing, but I do know what it has in it because people that do read it give you a nice recap without any kind of biases that you can, claim is fighting against your real beliefs on the subject.
Yeah, I mean, it is like, I'll admit I haven't read the whole thing either, but I am presenting an article about it. But I will say that essentially my question around, and the question around like, okay, this like awful hate speech and the other things that won't get taken down. It's like, okay, so does like a Holocaust denying 8chan poster just decide to run for office? And he's like, well, I'm a politician, you can't censor me. Like, don't you feel like that's the next step?
If like, that's the idea.
Right, like if you know YouTube takes down a Steven Crowder video, he'll be like, well, I'm running for office, so you get fined. Like so random, it'll happen. But of course, JR's setting me up to drop this, which is that there is a carve out for a particular corporation who is exempt from being from this, from if they get banned, from being held liable for it or being billed for it. So companies like Disney, a big contributor in Florida politics, were carved out of the measure just before the legislature approved the bill and sent it to the governor. The legislation includes a clause that exempts a company that, quote, owns and operates a theme park or entertainment complex. So that means that Disney can ban somebody. Is that what it is? Or is it that Disney can't get banned? I'm not even clear on this.
Whatever they want is what it means.
Yeah.
It's whatever they want. And also, again, the reason why this has no basis for any of it, because it's not going to survive in any kind of court challenges, which it won't, is because I'll quote Corbin Bartholdt, since I'm not an attorney. So he's a internet policy counsel, nonprofit think tank, Tech Freedom. This is a First Amendment train wreck he talks about. So it's no different than when, like he says this, it's no different when a newspaper or someone like has a certain standard that they want on with their companies, the way that they present things. This is a First Amendment issue for these same companies that do the same as well. So they can tell you, we don't allow this kind of speech on our website. We don't allow lies. We don't allow blatant disregard for democracy. We don't allow people to coalesce and put together maybe an insurrection. In the United States, things like that, we can block people from doing those things. Or we don't care who you are. You can be president of the United States, but if you're part of trying to make sure that you solidify your power as a dictator in this country that's not supposed to have one, we can keep you from using us to get to that means. I don't know why that's a hard thing to understand.
Absolutely. I mean, it also like flies in the face, you know, Disney's been in the crosshairs of like so many right wingers, you know, whether it's changes made to the rides to make them more, you know, quote unquote woke / not racist, or you know, firing of Gina Carano from The Mandalorian. Like everybody hates Disney, and Disney is like incredibly concerned about its image, maybe to a fault, maybe you know too much. But Ron DeSantis is basically saying, no, we'll protect you from banning anyone you want. You know, we've got you. You can do whatever you want because obviously, you know, you help out. Well, you know, we give you tax kickbacks. We've got an agreement. Once in a while, a child gets eaten by an alligator at your park. It's fine. We won't talk about it. Such a crazy story. But obviously, this is so scary. This is at a moment, you know, DeSantis doesn't care about the First Amendment for some people. The Democrats in the state fired back with a statement talking about the anti-riot bill that was passed by DeSantis recently, which basically criminalizes protests specifically aimed at BLM demonstrators. They wrote, if Republicans really cared about protecting our First Amendment rights, they would never have allowed dangerous and anti-American HB1 to pass through the Florida legislature and have been signed into law. Instead, they're talking out of both sides of their mouths, muzzling protesters' freedom of speech and right to peacefully assemble, while also stripping private businesses from determining what is and is not acceptable on their own platforms. This reaction to Donald Trump's ban from Facebook and Twitter following a dangerous disinformation campaign leading to the insurrection on January 6th is an overreach of government by the very party which claims to fight against such actions.
I think it's helping him lead. This is Ron DeSantis is the leading next Trump. He is. I know there's a few people lining up, as you mentioned. Matt Gaetz has taken himself out of the running, but it's. I'm trying to think of who can even be number two, because there's a bunch of people who did their whole thing. The Rand Pauls and Lindsey Grahams of the world. You know, I mean, you got the
Christy Noem. Christy Noem or Noem?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Noem. Oh yeah.
I don't know her.
Yeah, she's working. As long as you have a governor, you have to be at the level of at least maybe a senator, congressman level, and governor to make sure this happens. So I'm trying to find the hierarchy here, and it looks like he's the only one kind of left.
Yeah.
Of the bigger names, because you know Lindsey Graham tried already. The people who ran for president before are kind of old news.
Yeah.
He's a new voice. It's helping him.
Absolutely. You're totally right. Well, okay. So the bigger question is, does conservative media have an anti-conservative bias? We've heard that. And if you needed any more proof than your QAnon cousin, studies are firmly saying that no, it doesn't. In fact, maybe the opposite. So in February, a New York University study found that claims of an anti-conservative bias in themselves amount to a form of disinformation. Quote, no trustworthy large-scale studies have determined that conservative content is being removed for ideological reasons or that searches are being manipulated to favor liberal interests, the report stated. And you guys have seen these, but just to remind you, it seems like the opposite is true. Of course, Facebook, for example, is a platform that is not forthcoming about its top performing videos. It is not forthcoming about anything. It probably doesn't even track them. It's sort of see no evil, hear no evil, oops, insurrection. And there's a great account you guys should follow called Facebook's Top 10. And it uses Facebook's own app called CrowdTangle to list and assess how many, which videos and which posts got the most engagements, got the most shares. And so this is just from yesterday, okay? Top performing videos, link posts by US Facebook pages in the last 24 hours are from number one, Franklin Graham, Fox News, Franklin Graham, Sean Hannity, Ben Shapiro, Dan Bongino had a slow day, Ben Shapiro. Graham is the son of Billy Graham, a televangelist, obviously.
It's the murderous row of libs taking over our social media pages and making sure that conservatives don't have a voice. Similar to the way that straight white males are gonna no longer have any voice in America either, because that's the way we operate in this country. We make sure we eliminate the voices of the most powerful, the most corrupt, the most anti-inclusive group of people in our country, but we keep seeing the names pop up. Again, it does not have to make sense. It just has to be said. And their people will take it in. You give them that information, you give them information about the New York University study, you know what they'll say? Oh, that's a New York University study, those libs over there. Oh, really? You're gonna look at Facebook's information about what happens? Facebook is the one that's banning us. Of course they're gonna lie. The degree to which that they think people have this whole long out thought process of how they're keeping them from saying the things that we keep having to hear them say.
Yeah.
By the way, man, the plan that has to go into this kind of execution is astounding. And honestly, these people are geniuses if they're able to get ahead of every one of these games to make sure this happens. Because again, if I can never hear Franklin Graham, Fox News, Franklin Graham, Sean Hannity, Ben Shapiro 7 times, I'm a happy person, but
And this is consistent, right? And you know, it's elevated Dan Bongino. And like, obviously, if Trump were on Facebook, it would be Trump posts. We're talking about Ron DeSantis's new free speech bill, anti big tech bill, which sounds better than it actually is. It's just penalizing companies for keeping politicians off of their platforms like Donald Trump. So other states are following suit. According to a New York Times tally from this month, at least 38 states have proposed more than 100 bills designed to address big tech's content moderation policies. Many have speculated that the statewide pushback against big tech reflects a dearth of substantial regulation at the federal level. Oh, you think? Maybe. Like, and this is again what makes me so mad about Democrats. It's like, this is fertile ground to talk about breaking up big tech. This is absolutely the moment to do that. But actually, big tech are huge Democratic donors, right? And they are a little bit more liberal, obviously, on issues around, you know, gender and LGBTQ issues and even immigration, right? Like, we know that. But this is one of those things where, no, you have to bite the hand that feeds you, because the right is coming in on your territory now, but for all the wrong reasons and to uphold all the wrong people. And once again, if we break up big tech, look, Bongino, Shapiro, nobody says they're going anywhere. They're still gonna have platforms to put out. But the way that the algorithm, the almighty, that we have no idea how it works, the way that it works, it promotes false information, it promotes incendiary information, and it promotes, yes, right wingers, extremists all the time, y'all. The studies on how fake news travels like 400 times faster than real news. So once again, when you break up big tech, when you take the monetary incentive out, when you sort of level the playing field, yes, you will get rid of this kind of noxious information, especially its ability to rise to the top like that.
My last thought on this is, it's startling. People have to think about that. You read this whole stat. 38 states have proposed more than 100 bills designed to address big tech's content moderation policies. So people in these 38 states, latest being Florida here with Ron DeSantis and this show. How has this addressed issues with your health care? If you've been sick, if you're worried about how you're gonna pay those bills, with your rent, with your loss of job, with student loan debt, things like this that actually affect you, what is this doing for you? Mm-hmm. Have there been 100 bills across 38 states to address those four or five issues I just listed? If there's not, then you're finding out what your politicians care about versus what you care about. But they'll sit in front of a camera, roll up their stupid sleeves on a collared shirt and say, I'm out here in the middle of Texas and I'm talking to Texans about what's really wrong. You know what they're upset about? Facebook is banning, is keeping their content where they said something racist. No, they don't know how they're gonna pay for that medical bill. They have no idea how they're gonna feed their kids. They have no idea how they're gonna continue to work this job that's getting them nowhere. They have no idea how they can take care of those kids once they have another one. So these types of policies that these guys put forward will continue to show who and what they actually care about. Yeah. That's why they didn't like that it was asked about Donald Trump, because that's who they care about. They do not care about the issues that actually affect you.
100%. And a lot of times they're hearing that same thing, like, we're being censored, they hate the right. And you're like, oh, on Facebook, cool. So if I'm seeing this, I don't think you're being censored here, Benny. It is no myth that the wealthy fail up. Thanks to Congress, it might become law. So Congress is looking at Jeff Bezos and is like, oh, poor baby. Because his spaceflight company, Blue Origin, lost a multi-billion contract to Elon Musk's SpaceX. And Congress is now prepping the grounds for Bezos to win the contract anyway, ordering NASA to make not one, but two awards. What? This is according to The Intercept and Ryan Grimm's reporting. The order would come through the Endless Frontier Act, a bill to beef up resources for science and technology research that's been debated on the Senate floor this week. An amendment was added to that legislation by Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington, a Democrat, to hand over $10 billion to NASA, money that would likely go to Blue Origin, a company that's headquartered in Cantwell's home state. Ah, yes, it all makes sense. So here's an extra amendment that's like, I know Bezos didn't win, but here we're just gonna give it to him anyway. Just a cool 10 bill. What else could we do with that money? Nothing. Specifically what it's about. The Bezos Space Company had been competing against SpaceX for a contract to put astronauts on the moon, the first such trip since 1972, but lost the bidding process with a price tag twice that of SpaceX. Cool. NASA announced the award to the Elon Musk owned company last month. So this is billionaire versus billionaire and government money. In a lot of ways, taxpayer money. Where are you at on this,
okay, JR? So this is where, my kid is playing on a baseball team right now, right? Mm-hmm. He's doing well, his team is not. There's issues here and there with the way we practice, the way we teach these guys, and they have issues when they play their games. They have not won a game yet. So, you know, I'm teaching my kid during this tough season for him, mm-hmm. Hey, you gotta learn how to lose sometimes. And then when you lose, you find out what you did wrong and maybe you get it right the next time. Oh. And then we build on that. You're only 9 years old. You got the rest of your life ahead of you. Because you wanna teach the kid, no matter what he does, outside of athletics, when you compete for something, you do the best job to beat the other guy out. And when you beat the other guy out, you win. If you lose, you move on, you fix it, you do it better next time. So you can learn from that. I don't know why we don't teach adults that, or certain adults that, because if your company loses out of a bid for some kind of space exploration grant because someone else maybe had a better proposal, maybe they had connections, because that's really how DC works, let's keep it real. But maybe his connections were different or better, which is a bad thing. But you lost. So do I get to tell my kid after the season's over, hey, we lost all these games, go to the board of this little league and tell them, hey, you know, we lost, but you should give us like 6 or 7 wins too. Just because, you know, we're in here, aren't we? Yeah. People say, why would we do that? That's weird and unfair. For some reason, adults can do that. Adults can say, no, give me $10 billion more because my name is Jeff Bezos and I lost that contract, but give me more. From who? From us. Mm-hmm. It's not even just like a free $10 billion. The way we toss money around to rich people that don't need it to do things like this, it's like it's become so normalized that we don't have to even think about it anymore. We don't think, man, that's $10 million. Where's that coming from? But if we think of $1 million, $10 million, and we're like, we're going to put it towards climate change, we're going to put it towards social programs, towards family services, childcare care, healthcare, any of that stuff, we go, well, where's that money coming from? My pockets? Where's this $10 billion coming from, this extra $10 billion coming from that's going to Jeff Bezos?
You know,
do we care?
No, it's interesting. I had, you know, economist Stephanie Kelton on, and she talks about the modern monetary theory. And actually that $10 billion, you know, it is part of it's part of the money that we print. It's part of the money that, like, the government, some of it is taxpayer money for sure. But some of it's also just, you know, when we go to war, there's always money. When we have to give, you know, billionaires tax breaks, which, by the way, Bezos and Elon Musk absolutely got, that's just money that, like, the Fed prints. We've got that money. And her argument is that that's okay if you're investing in all those things you just mentioned, in healthcare, in education, in infrastructure. But of course, and we can talk about it every time I talk about space in the wrong way on the internet, a lot of people get mad at me. But let me just say, Elon Musk is not your friend. Elon Musk is never given to give you a pound, you know, the currency or like the physical pound. Elon Musk, you're never gonna afford a Cybertruck, moon truck, whatever the, you know, what I was gonna end that with. Like, this, the question is, why do we need to put astronauts on the moon? Why? What are we doing on, there's no water there. Well, there might be on the dark side, but I don't know. Look, all that's on the dark side of the moon is a lot of good weed and like a great soundtrack. But like, I don't understand why we're spending this much money to go there. And you know, we're not gonna send scientists. It's gonna be like Kylie Jenner's kid who's like, I just wanna see what the moon is like and like take a selfie. You know, like that's who we're gonna send.
And promote ourselves that way. I never thought about it that way, honestly. Then what do we do once we're there? And why haven't we been going back and forth every year with a new guy? I don't know. I mean, what year? I don't even know what year the whole moon landing was. So it's 68?
I think so, something like that.
But how come it didn't happen again in 70, then 72? How, every other year. Anyway. I never thought about it that
59.
Way.
I'm sorry, 59, earlier than that.
I thought it was in the 60s, okay.
Oh wait, no, first crew to land on the moon, 69, almost. But 69, nice, as they say. my bad, John's out, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I just wonder, we're putting all this money towards, I'm just thinking about the fact that the contracts would have all these issues with it, but the fact that we now are not even thinking about, now what? Why is this extra money going to something like this? If there's a real reason, it's fine, because my assumptions, even when I hear about any of this space exploration, my immediate knee-jerk reaction is, oh, that's good, that's great. Space exploration, we wanna know what's out there. We wanna be able to analyze, maybe we can figure out something about our world because of what's outside of us. I don't know.
No, I
maybe
get
that's
it.
Been said and I just miss it. But you've now turned me into like an anti-space exploration person just with one thought.
Thank you, I've done my job. No, I think a lot of people's critiques who like space, and this is a critique that I think is really important, is that yes, space, but why does it have to always be via billionaires like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos who've spent their time on Earth, like reaping incredible amounts of profit, not paying their fair share of taxes, exploiting and squeezing their workforces in order to make this amount of money. No one should be a billionaire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, that money does wonders in Congress. So just for context here, Blue Origin, which is Bezos's company, spent $625,000 lobbying the Senate in the first 3 months of 2021, according to lobbying disclosure records. Among that spending was $50,000 to a team of lobbyists at a firm called Clark Hill that would specifically focus on the moon landing program. And of course, it bore fruit in the form of this amendment that says, hey, let's still give a $10 billion contract to Jeff Bezos, even though Elon Musk won it from Maria Cantwell. If you go in Washington, you should absolutely call her office. But it was met with some pushback. So Senator Bernie Sanders is pushing back on a plan to give a $10 billion space contract to Jeff Bezos, even though he lost the original one. He is introducing a last minute amendment to eliminate that $10 billion contract to Bezos. And writing on Twitter, Jeff Bezos is the richest guy on the planet. He's gotten $86 billion richer since the start of the COVID pandemic. Does he really need $10 billion from Congress for space exploration?
No, he doesn't.
I think it's a simple answer to that question.
Yeah, I love the Bezos Bernie feud, which got really fun around the Bessemer, Alabama unionization vote, you know, when it was like all these Amazon accounts just like throwing shade. And you're like, who do you hire to run these accounts? Like, what angry 18-year-old is like dunking on Bernie?
It works for certain companies. I think Wendy's does it, Slim Jim does it, and like maybe Burger King. Those companies have like, you know, a younger person who's connected and knows all the social media stuff enough to just randomly chime in on random popular posts and just say something under the name of Slim Jim. And I guess they do the same thing when it comes to things like this, like whoever, just run the social media account, it's fine. It's how it works. Now, when it comes to Bernie Sanders and his challenge against it, it sucks because I don't know if it's gotten to the point where Bernie Sanders' office is just saying, we'll say and try and present the right things. And then after it fails, because we know how the rest of the Congress works, we just move on and concede. Because the same thing happened with the attempt to block the arms sales to Israel, $735 million more.
Yes.
And then he presented it, they said, F you. He said, okay, now this again. Why do we need $10 billion more dollars for Jeff Bezos? They'll say, F you. Okay.
Yes.
And then us progressives will be like, he's trying. I don't know what else to do anymore. It's just every day is he's trying. Good job.
Yes.
He's trying. Back to the corner.
No, and he is. And it's like what again? What's on the moon? What's on the moon? What are we? Is healthcare on the moon? Can we find like, you know, could we get a pap smear? I love going back to these. Like, is there like an affordable pap smear on the moon? Is there good prenatal healthcare on the moon? Because I think, you know, women on Earth could really use that. Look, and the entire thing, guys, this just feels, it just drips with corruption, right? You got $625,000 lobbying to the Senate. And then, of course, Maria Cantwell putting it in the bill saying, yes, Bezos can get this $10 billion contract. Like, we love to judge other countries as, well, they've got a corrupt leader. They're super corrupt. Guess what they don't have? An entire lobbying infrastructure. The reason that so many countries where it's like, oh, this president is in hot water, this congressperson, because they got like a suitcase of cash. Well, guess what? Suitcase of cash is almost more honest than an entire legal infrastructure to bribe lawmakers. Somehow we don't like, because Bernie Sanders is like, it'd be weird for him to call out Senator Maria Cantwell and talk about the lobbying, right? Yep. Because it's just legalized bribery.
And then it's Bernie Sanders attacking Democrats, you know? When in reality, what you should see is, wow, Democrats are doing the same things the Republicans do. They've been bribed. That's not the narrative. The narrative is, oh, look at this infighting.
Yes.
Not look at the truth that's just been revealed. Just the infighting. And look how Bernie Sanders is looking to disrupt everyone. And his battles with Jeff Bezos. Oh, he's just like Donald Trump. It's just anything to delegitimize the point, which is a very simple one, which is easily put in that tweet that we keep seeing. It's very straightforward. What he's looking for and what the problem is. But we overlook that part somehow and add things to it. My last thought is that I had no idea there was the politics of pap smears, but I'm going to have to start looking into that too.
Every year they get more expensive. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. And you're like, why? Has the speculum suddenly become comfortable? No. Like, what is the advance you're making that this costs $15 more? There is no advance. It's a privatized healthcare system.
So if I develop a speculum that comes more comfortable, will I make $10 billion potentially?
Yes, you will. I want to see that on Shark Tank. Is that still a show? I don't know TV shows.
Not at all.
At all.
I have no idea. No, I don't know if it is either. I mean, I don't know TV shows at all. No idea.
I love it. Little League, I got you. Television, nah. All right, well, let's move on. I love this story. Oh, God. Literally, oh, God. You know, some look at Black Lives Matter or Marxism or critical race theory or intersectionality and start thinking,
who could be behind all this? Could it be Satan?
And that is exactly what some American bishops actually believe. And to combat these supposed demonic forces, they are conducting exorcisms. This is real, guys. In Portland, Oregon, Archbishop Alexander Sample led a procession of more than 200 people to a city park on October 17th, offered a prayer, and then conducted a Latin exorcism rite intended to purge the community of evil. The event followed more than 4 months of racial justice protests in Portland, mostly peaceful, but sometimes fueling in violence and riots. On that same day, over in San Francisco, 600 miles to the south, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, good name, crazy man, performed an exorcism ceremony outside of a Catholic church in San Rafael, where protesters had toppled a statue of Father Junipero Serra. Wow. I didn't know you could exorcise a park. I thought you had to exorcise a person.
In a park. they got the subject and the verb mixed up.
Absolutely. Here we have Lil Nas X, who I'm sure they can't wait to try and exercise. But he definitely does work out, so I don't think he needs it. He looks fine to me.
I wonder, so is this, I'm always looking for what's the end point, because it's always money, first of all, but where do they financially benefit from their exorcisms of the air and of the grass and the trees in the park? Where a protest took place. Again, every time, I feel like I said this, I'm not sure if it was on the main show or if it was on TDR last week. Every time someone wants to have something to say about it, we have to have this whole outrage about what it is that they're doing, and then find a way to shut it down without any reality for what they just said. I figured who it was. It was some politician said, I can't get why all this Black Lives Matter stuff happens anyway. Well, if you listen, we'll tell you why all this Black Lives Matter stuff happens, and you don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to say, man, they just want to come out here and riot in the streets. Or you could address the fact that police brutality has been killing Black folks at this rate, and based off of absolutely nothing, and that our entire judicial system is targeted and biased. Listen to it, and then if you can address those issues, then you can start acting clueless. Like, well, we addressed all the issues that are the problem. You guys are still running around in the streets, getting mad, throwing up signs, and then some riots break out. They don't want to address the issue. They just want to say the issue is non-existent, and these folks are just out here getting angry about nothing. It doesn't make any sense. So the next step then is to have a couple of archbishops and Catholic priests come out and start exercising the air, because that's what it is. It's just in the air. They're afraid of the evil in the air, but they're not afraid of the COVID in the air for some reason. It's just it's this weirdest approach to just normal things. What's gonna happen? What did you see in the air? I would love to see how he started this exorcism.
I know.
Like, usually on a person, they may do some exorcism and say there's this evil spirit in the human and they're losing their minds. At least that's something you can say is right here. Which part of I don't know, whatever park they got in Oregon is the evil part? Is the family over there 100 yards away? Are they still in the safe zone? It's so weird, and people show up and still give these guys money for it.
Yeah, well, I love the idea that, like, maybe the movie The Exorcist, like, she was just like screaming, you know, like, an injury to one is an injury to all, and like, you know, communist slogans, you know, like rise up, like, you know, like,
this is such a good sketch.
Workers of the world unite. like that she was a communist. I would probably love it even harder and stan her even more. Also, let me just say, I feel like America is trying to exorcise the country of racism and a racist policing institution. Like, that feels like what we're doing. It's been going on a long time. America's a very unwilling patient. We gotta strap it down, you know, but it does feel like
we're on us, yeah.
Exactly, we're like an umbrella trying to like prevent it from puking. No, totally, that feels like what we're doing is exercising it. But there have been some good responses to this insane story of priests trying to exercise Black Lives Matter, which was a tribal activist, a native activist, Greg Castro, told the National Catholic Reporter, I love this, exorcisms are a throwback to the thinking of the 1700s, which justified what the Spaniards did to us. To them, we are some kind of demonic spirits. And it's very right on. It's like, look, I'm not disparaging religion. And look, there are amazing Catholics, Dorothy Day, Catholic workers, strong, strong sense of justice. But when you combine Catholicism and religion and colonialism, yeah, Native Americans were seen as heathens and demonic, you know, and everything that they worshiped was seen as ridiculous. And you even people, the way people talk about like sage burning is like, oh, that's devil stuff. Like what? You just burn incense. You just burn a different thing.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, this you can have your belief systems too, like the holy water part. That's fine. It's something used for your ceremonial things. And by the way, hearkening back to one of Donald Trump's favorite lines, he likes to call things a witch hunt when it's actually accountability for himself. Ironically, witch hunts were one of those things that are similar to this. We just grab people and say that they were these demonic figures that were casting spells on people somehow, because I don't know, the women left the house and they became witches somehow. That's the kind of stuff we used to believe in, but we let that go and call it now a negative term, but we're still conducting exorcisms of the park. We like to keep the stupid elements of these things and then dispel the things that we consider now crazy when all of it was.
Yeah.
I don't know how we selectively choose these things.
No, I mean, obviously they operate on their own rules, but if they were listening to the Vatican, which has been better, I'm not a Pope Francis stan. I'm not someone who's like, oh my God, Pope Francis, I mean, he's okay. He could do more evolving, as they say, especially on abortion rights and things like that. But he did speak out last year when George Floyd was murdered and in the wake of all of these protests. And he had a statement, he wrote, "My friends, we cannot tolerate or turn a blind eye to racism and exclusion in any form and yet claim to defend the sacredness of every human life." Ah, see, he gets the hypocrisy. "Today I join the church in St. Paul in Minneapolis and the entire United States in praying for the repose of the soul of George Floyd and for all those who have lost their lives as a result of the sin of racism." Wow.
Wow, it's a sin. So are they gonna dismiss him now? I mean, that's the Pope. You're supposed to listen to everything he says, right?
Nah, he knows too many secrets. They'd have to off him in some kind of way. He knows all the secrets. He's got to go to the island. He's got, you know, there'll be a faking your own death. I don't know. We could dig like an El Chapo tunnel out of the Vatican to get him out of there or something.
Did you do any of the Catholic school stuff? I have no idea how Catholicism really works.
How does like it?
All the rules and I don't know.
Super Old Testament. I don't know. Everyone's gonna correct. Super Old Testament. Not really that into Jesus. Kind of. The biggest difference is that the blood of Christ is literally the communion. That is actual blood and that is actual body, even though you don't actually eat flesh and blood every Sunday. So, but somehow that was the big difference. Lots of itchy tights and you know, uniforms and terrible haircuts like I had when I was a child. But yeah, I did go to Catholic school for like a year. And then I misbehaved too much and they took me out and my mom put me in public school and I was like, oh, I love this. I hated that. I hate private school.
A Francesca misbehaving as a child must have just been talking in class. It couldn't have been more than that.
Just clowning everyone. That was very much me. I'm reformed. I am a reformed clown. Some are reformed Catholics. I'm a reformed clown. All right, we go. This is probably my favorite story. I know I lied. I said that was my favorite story, but this is my favorite story. You know, I got the Pfizer vaccine, feeling fine. But some people are gonna pay me to say otherwise, maybe. So YouTube influencers in France and Germany have been offered money by a strange PR company if they falsely tell their followers that the Pfizer vaccine is responsible for hundreds of deaths. So this company is called Faz, I don't know how you pronounce it, and they may have connections to, wait for it, Russia. Cue lightning bolt strike. Faze, which is said it was an quote influencer marketing platform connecting bloggers and advertisers, claimed to be based at 5 Percy Street in London, but is not registered there. On Tuesday, it closed its website and made its Instagram account private. The agency contacted several French health and science YouTubers last week and asked them in poor English to quote explain the death rate among the vaccinated with Pfizer is almost 3 times higher than the vaccinated by AstraZeneca. We love AstraZeneca. Sorry, that's how I imagine. So the influencers were told to publish links on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Reddit to the reports in Le Monde, which is the first outlet that broke the story, about a leaked report containing data that supposedly substantiates the claim. And so one of those influencers went to Twitter and posted like what had happened and what he received. So he writes, "It's strange. I received a partnership proposal which consists of breaking down the Pfizer vaccine on video. Colossal budget. Client who wants to remain incognito. And you have to hide the sponsorship. Ethics. If you see these videos, you'll know it's an op then." And I think he continues to post. Just before you, I just want to read the whole thing. This is part of the email that he received. It says, "Important. Don't use the words advertising, sponsored content in your posts and stories. They should look like advice to the audience. Present the material natively. Act like you have the passion and interest in the topic. Present the material at your own independent view. Tell them the mainstream media ignores this topic and that you decided to share it with your subscribers. Put a question like, why some governments actively purchasing Pfizer vaccine, which is dangerous to health of people?" They said the people, but I just wanted to do it like that. Like, oh my God, guys, hey, you ever wonder why like hundreds of people are dying from the Pfizer vaccine? Can I have my money now?
Yeah. That's the way, and that's the way of the future now. They're thinking, you know, we've talked about all these other stories about how, you know, there's this opposition to social media users and social media companies and all this stuff, because they're so hell bent on that, because that's such a strong tool they'd like to use to push propaganda, lies, whatever else they need to do to convince the general public of whatever it is they need to manipulate us with. The problem has been there's way too much information along these lines, many of which is true, many of which is false. They got to make sure they flood the whole system with too much of the misinformation that people just kind of go, well, I saw this one influencer do it because I listened to whatever Kylie says. Sorry, yeah. I'm not implicating Kylie in this specifically as if she got any of this. But that's the general idea, to make sure that we use what we hate while we say we hate it for our own benefit. It's the manipulation of the entire system. And I don't know why they don't think people, maybe some of these influencers would be like, this is weird. I'm gonna go public with this, because that's what influencers like to do. They like to make news. They like to get known for something. And maybe it's not always just about money and the potential partnerships and ad money they can get for this. Maybe a few of them actually believe in the things that they do and say, and that's where the surprise came for these guys.
Totally. I love how it's like they're trying to fire festival their way into like the vaccine disinformation, you know? But weirdly, they targeted like science YouTubers who, look, I'm not saying they've got PhDs, but they talk about science. They know a bit about vaccines. You're not targeting lip gloss, you know, folks or makeup artists or whatever. You might have wanted to target them if you want people who are gonna be as gullible around like, you know, bogus vaccine science. Of course, what's the Russia connection? Just, you know, to actually seal that deal. The French investigative website Fact and Furious, which I love that name of a site, wow, but I also like slightly sus, posted a mail or email describing Fazé's budget as quote considerable, and the fee as the rate you wish. According to LinkedIn, Fazé's management comes from Moscow and has worked for an agency reportedly founded by a Russian entrepreneur. And apparently this is like not unique. So Russian and Chinese PR companies obviously want to promote their own vaccines, which is interesting because that's not what they did here. And I want to talk about that. But an EU study last month accused the Russian and Chinese media of quote state sponsored disinformation aimed at sowing mistrust in Western vaccines by sensationalizing safety concerns, making quote unfounded links between shots and deaths in Europe, and promoting Russian and Chinese vaccines as superior. But AstraZeneca, right, isn't actually either a Russian or a Chinese vaccine. I think the Russian one is Sinopharm, and Sputnik, of course, is Russia's. Yeah. But they still want to take, you know, Pfizer down a peg. I mean,
it's weird though. If you think about it, the general approach to distrust in the vaccine, maybe a certain small percentage of it is based on certain ones, but I haven't heard many people who are curious or distrusting in the vaccine to go, well, yeah, Johnson & Johnson, I don't trust that one, but I do trust AstraZeneca. And when I don't trust Moderna, like usually it's across the board. It's not really many things where people will go like, yeah, I'm gonna take that vaccine, but the other one. There's some, I'm sure. But as far as the broad range of people who wanna who wanna push down the vaccine use, it's never based off of which one.
Right.
It's usually based off of vaccine. The vaccine does this, it does this, it does that. Which one? We don't really always say that. Now, there has been that stuff, but I don't think they're hitting their target necessarily with this kind of approach.
No, yeah. I mean, what's interesting to me is that you're basically saying that the large majority of disinformation is basically from anti-vaxxers and right wingers from Fox News to, you know, Dan Bongino on Facebook, who are like, yeah, no, distrust all the vaccines. This is actually countries that are like, no, trust ours more, you know, trust ours a little bit more, even though they're less effective. Maybe you need 3 Sputnik shots to get to 1 Pfizer. For me, obviously, this is something I've been griping about since the beginning of the vaccination rollout, which is the fact that we should have the same vaccine, that intellectual property rights around this stuff are total BS, and that we would easily nip it in the bud if you just had broader access to the vaccine, if there was more internationalism when it came to global health crises, if obviously Trump hadn't entirely left the World Health Organization, you know, because that's what authoritarians do. Like, they're like, no, me first, me best, you know, that's it.
Sit it at his inauguration.
Absolutely.
I alone
can kill 500,000 of you. God, imagining knowing then what we know now about Donald Trump, I would have never voted for him, JR. Let me just tell you, I feel like he was a massive failure.
Who would have known? It's like he didn't tell us this. My final thought is this, like, so the common denominator here is the money, of course, but it goes across both realms of it. So the money based off of, we want to make sure our vaccine is this one versus that one. We can't have this normalized version of the vaccine, or at least shared information amongst the world because the world was infected.
Yeah.
We can't have a common approach to it because of money. That is the only reason. Let's keep it real. This initiative to get these influencers to make sure they down one versus another, it's money. Because they know, again, during this entire year and a half of all these issues that people have had, everyone's had their financial problems, people have lost jobs, people's influences have been off. So people have gone maybe more on the internet to try and make some kind of money, and maybe they've had some success. So the struggles people have financially because of what happened in the world, and just naturally whatever else happens with the levers of power, it's all based in people needing more money. So once people are in this position of, oh my God, how am I gonna eat? Like, if you'd like to sow some disinformation, we'll give you money so you can eat. They like getting people in positions where they're vulnerable and need it, and then you use them to spread disinformation because you wanna make more money. If we eliminate the money aspect of this, we might actually get somewhere, but instead we're fighting over because people need to make money off of worldwide pain.
Absolutely, no, 100%. And also think about all the anti-vaxxers influencers who would be like, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I don't even believe in the vaccine. Yep. I'll disparage Pfizer for $100,000, sure. Yep. J.R. Jackson, thus concludes a J.R. Wednesdays. I don't know, what do you call your Wednesdays? Big News Wednesdays?
Oh, well, I think John started tossing in Big News Wednesdays, but it was always JR Wednesdays, yes. Yes. I believe there'll be a JR Fridays on the main show today. Not today, Friday, obviously. So on Friday, I'll be doing the main show, second hour. Took a 2-week hiatus, AKA Brett said, we're not gonna have you do the next 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, that's cool.
I'm excited for you to be on the Friday show. It'll be good. You're leading it, right?
Yes, for the second hour's worth, unless something changes. Yeah.
JR always comes with some of the best stories in those morning meetings, and very grateful for him. As always, JR, be very well, and thank you all.
Thank you. I'm gonna go crash the Bituation Room at some point.
Oh, that's right. I know. It's a weekly, sadly, but I would love to have you.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.